Welcome to Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the Kentucky Wesleyan College Alumni Association. Join us each week as we interview incredible alumni and friends and follow the evolution of their lives.
Hey, everybody. We are back again for another edition of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of KWC Alumni. We are continuing with our Wesleyan Sweetheart series, and I have again with me my sweetheart, my wife, Brenda.
Hey, I'm back.
With us today, our sweethearts are newlyweds. We have Kinsey and we have Chase. Why don't you guys take a minute and introduce yourselves?
Ladies first.
Thank you. My name is Kinsey Andrews, formerly known as Kinsey Toms. I graduated from Wesleyan in 21 and met my sweetheart there our senior year. Very happy to be here with you too.
Toms is a famous name around campus. We'll explore that in a little bit. Chase?
I'm Chase. Chase Andrews. I'm from Tennessee originally. I came up to Wesleyan in 2018 to play baseball, with every expectation of leaving Owensboro, Kentucky at the end of that. And now I live here with my wife, Kinsey. We got married
welcome.
This year. Yeah. Happy to be here. Happy to be an honorary Kentuckian. I like it here.
Well, we have that in common.
You're not from here.
I'm from Ohio. I've been here more than twice as long as I was in Ohio. So I should be considered a Kentuckian, but I'm still an outsider.
Yeah. No,
I couldn't hear the accent until you said Ohio, and then it just rang clear for me.
A Yankee? Yankee accent? Is that what you're referring
Ohio
to?
The Ohio in you.
That's exactly right. It never leaves. Once a Buckeye, always a Buckeye, which is not a bad thing. So, Kinsey, ladies first, your time at Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. Major, what did you do while you were here besides Chase?
Yes, I came to Wesleyan. I pretty much always knew I was going to come to Wesleyan. It's kind of in my blood. So I came here and just was immediately embraced by the, you know, campus community. And got as involved as I could, really. So I joined the Kappa Delta sorority, AOT.
KD, yeah.
Yes, sir. And after that, I got involved with campus ministries and SGA, helped begin the Dance Purple committee that we have, which raises money for pediatric cancer. Gosh, I'm probably leaving out so much, but I just got super involved right from the start because I knew if I wasn't going to be an athlete, I needed to be a part of everything else since the majority of students were athletes. So I was like, I'm going to get involved as I can. So, and then I came in majoring in communications and then wrapped that up a little earlier than I expected. So I just tacked on another major and got my degree in English as well.
English and communications.
Yes, they go together nicely.
To do what?
I hoped to do anything involving writing, marketing, PR. And so I'm on my second job of my career right now here at Wesleyan. And in both jobs, I have gotten to do exactly what I wanted to do. And that's write and meet people and use media relations. So I've been very blessed with that.
Outstanding.
Yes. Love it when a plan comes together.
It certainly did.
Chase, what about you? Your time at Wesleyan.
My time at Wesleyan? It started when I was a junior. I'm going to say on accident. I know Ken said she had, for the longest time, figured she would come to Wesleyan. I had no clue Kentucky Wesleyan existed until, I was 18 years old and a baseball coach told me, well, he actually asked me, he's like, hey, would you like to go play summer baseball? And it was one of those questions that wasn't really a question. It was more like, you're going somewhere to play.
A voluntold.
Yeah, I was voluntold to go play summer baseball, and I had a couple options, and Owensboro was the closest to home. My home was in Tennessee. And so I chose that. I came up to Owensboro, and I played an entire summer of baseball, and it went terribly. And when I left at the end of that summer, this is a long time ago, I said I was never in my life coming back to Owensboro, Kentucky, never. And then fast forward 1 year, I left the school I was at. It was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the first baseball team to call was Kentucky Wesleyan. I had played with some guys who were at Kentucky Wesleyan that summer forever ago. And then I look up and here I am. I'm sitting in a communications class, or classes. That's what I got my degree in. And I ended up being here 3 years with the pandemic. And yeah, that was how I ended up at Wesleyan. And that was my degree, communications.
All right. Yeah. Well, so let me circle back. Yeah. You said basically you had to eat your words.
I've had to eat my words many times. Yeah,
I was going to suggest to you, being newly married, you will get used to that.
Yeah, I've actually thought about starting keeping a journal. Anything that I feel like is for sure, I'm going to write it down and then immediately throw it out.
Cross it out.
Yeah, I had to eat my words. I did. I said, I'm never coming back to this town for as long as I live. And now I live here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not a bad place, is
no,
it?
It's not so bad. No, I really enjoy it.
He got a way better team this time around.
Yeah. No, I actually do. I love it here.
Yeah. So, Kenzie, you said you're on your second professional job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's go back and talk about your first professional job.
Okay, gladly. So I was actually approached before I even walked the graduation line. And so that was a huge blessing. Normally people are scrounging, looking for a job right out of school. So yeah. I was able to apply, interview, all of that before graduation. And so they were pretty much like, well, as soon as you're ready, we're ready. For me to start, because the woman previously in my position was leaving. So I had about 3 weeks of summer vacation, and then I just jumped on board.
Welcome to the real world.
Exactly. Like right from the jump. And it was a lot. It was a lot. Because
that was with the chamber.
Yes, that was with the Greater Owensboro Chamber of Commerce. I came in and I had a little bit of time to work under the woman who was in the position. And so she taught me as much as she could. And then I started full time. And it was very cool because I was doing a little bit of everything that I loved. So I was doing the social media pieces and press releases and event planning. And it was like a perfect trifecta of everything that I love to do. And it was absolutely mind blowing to watch a team of, I think we had 6 women on our team most of the time. And everything that we did, like, I didn't even know what the Chamber of Commerce was until I got the job, which is
right.
Incredible to think. And now it's like I see, I'm on the other side of things, and I see how many parts of the community the chamber touches. And so to be a part of that, it was just an honor, really.
Well, I think you had some responsibility with events, didn't you?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, so I was the communications and events coordinator. So I was doing any of the media, anything that was published from the chamber, and then also the event planning aspect. And if you've ever been to a Rooster Booster breakfast, it's a big deal and it's every month. So things like that. And of course, everything we did was a team effort. But yeah, I was like all hands in on the events that they had, and I didn't realize how many they had until I was handed the binder that was thicker than a Bible, and it had every single event for the year. I didn't realize how much I liked event planning though until I was thrown into it. So it was very cool.
That's a talent not everybody has or appreciates.
Yeah. And one that I needed to grow. very much. And so I was able to do that there.
I think the Rooster Booster mm-hmm. might have been the first time we met.
Okay. Yeah. Possibly.
I think that is true. And then you had the opportunity to come to our house.
Yes.
You remember that?
I do remember that.
I remember that.
Because I thought, how cool that these people are just letting strangers into their home. And
I remember crashing the kitchen and feeling very invited. And that was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Very warm welcome.
You're always welcome.
So that is the first Thursday in July mm-hmm. Where we hosted at our house. And yeah. That was, right? A new opportunity.
It slammed.
Yeah, that was. I would say that was my first like post-grad event that I attended. So that was very
cool. And look where you are now.
I know. Full circle.
Yeah. So you did the chamber thing for how long?
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yes.
Getting some real good real world experience.
Yes, definitely.
And then you transitioned where?
To Wesleyan, Doug.
Oh, Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I felt in my heart for a while that I needed to be a part of this team. And so it wasn't even a few months when I started, you know, praying about it. Like, if I'm meant to be there, you know, place me there. And then just the perfect position opened up. And yeah, I was very eager to join Eddie's team.
And so what do you do?
I'm the philanthropy director, and so I work with Leah Taylor on fundraising and alumni cultivation, and then I also help her with event planning.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you've been now back at Wesleyan how long?
It's almost been a year.
A year?
I cannot believe that at all, but yeah, it's almost been a year. I started in February of last year, so...
So, philanthropy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big word.
It's a beautiful
word. Break it down. What's it mean?
Yes. Really, we used to be advancement development. And philanthropy, I feel like, rings true to what we're doing. We're raising money for the most amazing cause, and that's our students. I all of our team is 100% giving because we believe in that. We believe in giving back to Wesleyan because it gave so much to us. I mean, us as students, first of all, it brought us together, but then also I think it grew us so much as people. And so I want students of future generations to have those experiences.
And sure. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Chase? I can't yes. leave you out.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so baseball.
Baseball.
What position?
I was a catcher at Kentucky Wesleyan.
A catcher, that's which means correct. You were the field general.
I was the field general. I was most likely to be hit in the head as well.
Or anywhere.
And I was.
Probably were at some point.
But many times.
Yeah.
Probably too many times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a catcher.
And I'm sure you know this, but the catcher is the only player on the field who sees every play.
Yes, yes. I don't think people stop and think about the fact that catchers are looking through two tiny bars for a small white ball. And then somebody swings a stick past their head. But that's what we did. That's
at a very did. High rate of speed.
As hard as one can swing it,
yeah.
generally speaking.
Yeah. So you do wonder, why would you do that?
I do. Well, not at this point. But yeah, when I first started, I couldn't stop blinking. The ball would go right past me. And I thought, how do people do this? But it's pretty, I mean, to me, it's the most fun position on the field. But it got me to Wesleyan, so that's
We tried
that's
to
good.
Get our son to be a catcher. We mm-hmm. said, you will have a longer career if you be a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He tried it, and he just didn't like it. You know, and I understand all the gear, you know, it's not for everybody.
No, it's wanting to do it is definitely a prerequisite for being able to do it well. That is without a shadow of a doubt.
And I understand you did it well.
I was pretty good. I was pretty good. I practiced it a lot. Yeah. I was all conference here at Wesleyan in 2019. And yeah.
kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. And that's...
It is a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I do now. I actually train catchers. That's my livelihood. That's what I do. That's what I do for work. I train catchers.
Well, thank you for taking us down that road. I didn't have to. Yeah. So that when you left Wesleyan, that's what you started doing.
That's correct.
A trainer.
I started as a trainer. A
baseball trainer.
Yes. When I was a player, we had a pitcher on our team named Devin. And Devin was this big, tall, great pitcher. He won Pitcher of the Year. And he was invited one day to go to a local facility and throw to some of the batters there. This is here in Owensboro, the facility.
Okay.
And I went with him and caught. And I ended up getting to know the owner of the facility. And then fast forward a year later, I graduated and I was kind of in and out of that facility. And one day he just invited me. Like, hey, would you like to do lessons? I said, sure. Catching lessons specifically. And I started with one kid, and then two kids, and then three. And then now that's what I do all the time, full time.
Full time?
Full time. Full time. I started, we gave it a name. It's called Stronghold Catching. That's my business, my brand. And now it's our business, our brand. And so I travel and train catchers, all over the place.
Well, in Kentucky?
No. In Kentucky and in Tennessee. And this winter, we will be in San Francisco and Atlanta and Dallas. And I've trained catchers from, I don't know, well over a dozen states at this point. That's what I've been up to since graduating.
So when you go to San Francisco to do some training, how long are you there? What's that look like? What does catcher training look like?
Yeah, I'll be there for 2 days, and I'll have a group of like six players, and I'll work with them for 3 hours, and I'll show them all the things that they can take and then use for their training to get ready for this coming season and hopefully help them break through whatever kind of performance barriers they may have, give baseball some new meaning for them just through some of the conversations that we have. The training is around catching, but it's also centered around like personal development, and I think that's what's allowed us to expand and now travel is because it's catching, but it's also like equipping young men to be their best. That's what we'll do. We'll do that for 2 days. Just try and equip them with new tools
and
for catching and
helping
and
them get
else.
Their mind right.
Get their mind right. Yes.
Catching it's a mental and game mental more than game. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't call myself a mental coach. I think there's some certifications that come with that. But I would consider myself like that's my focus. That's my focus. Yeah.
Yeah. So what age?
I've trained all ages, mostly middle school, high school, and collegiate athletes now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's interesting. I've never known anybody who is a catching instructor.
There's no rules for it.
I never knew
sure.
that you there was a catching instructor, to be honest with you.
We're living in a new day and age. Yes. Yes.
It's kind of cool that you make your own way in that regard. You know, that's neat.
Yeah, I will say Owensboro has allowed me to do that. Owensboro's definitely allowed me to do that. I couch hopped for a little while, and then the community was just perfect. It was a lot of athletes, and everybody was very kind, and the connections were great. And yeah,
a lot of people just wanting the best for their kids.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
So it is interesting though, that today, much more so than when we were younger and going through the baseball phases, there is more emphasis on that, on training and getting that extra help. And I mean, we had a season in the summer, we played baseball. Mm-hmm. If you chose to play high school, fine, but it was a season in the summer. There was no travel ball. There was no go do extra workouts and training and have all these, schools that you go to and camps.
Yeah.
And that's a real difference between all those years ago that I won't mention how many it is and now. So the opportunity's there where it was not before.
Yeah.
That's correct.
These days, if you want it to be year round, It can be.
Yeah. Well, baseball is year round.
Yeah.
It is. So a lot of parents feel like they have to get involved with some sort of lesson to stay ahead of like the curve of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I try and use that as my opportunity. So like the things that you would have learned when you were a kid, taking time away from sports, whenever being a normal kid, having chores, jobs, I try and teach that through my lessons because I know they're going to be at baseball all the time. So that like that's the opportunity to teach whatever lessons they're going to get. So that's the mission. That's the mission.
Well, that's really cool. All right. So we got to get off
of baseball.
We do because we have to get on what's really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is how did the sweethearts meet?
You want me to go?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I'll go. I met Chase originally just in class, and we were not really interested in each other. We were very different people at the time, which I think is really awesome. We were totally different. We were friends, but we just went through a couple years in school together, just friends of friends, you know, and didn't really see each other until everyone got sent home for the pandemic. And it was like, okay, well, Chase is in town. You want to hang out? And then a couple days a week, it was like, hey, you want to hang out? You want to do something? You want to grab food? Because we were bored. I couldn't.
As was everybody during that time.
Right. We were bored. And so, I had a retail job at the time that I couldn't go to. And so we would just hang out. We got to know each other over that, I guess it was 6 months or so before we got to go back to school. And we had all that time to just get to know each other. And then I think we realized, oh, we actually do like each other. We like sharing time together. And so it kind of grew out of that lockdown time, really. So for us, that was kind of a blessing to just slow down and really see each other.
I don't think I've heard of many relationships that have grown out of boredom.
Right?
Out of necessity.
Oh, now there's been some of those. Yeah. Yes, there has.
Yeah, that's different than boredom.
Yeah. It was one of those things you can really see in retrospect so clearly. How the challenging time was actually the best possible time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of how it was.
So that was when?
That was 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I was a senior, and I was about to play my last season of baseball and then graduate and then leave. That was my big fat plan.
Yeah, he was going to be gone.
That was a big fat plan. And then the pandemic, it kind of fell in the spring of 2020. So we were in the middle of a baseball season. And so all the plans I thought I had, once again, went out, and we were both in town, and we'd kind of had our lives stripped down to the bare bones.
Like, what are we doing now?
What are we doing?
Uh-huh.
And we kind of ended up in the same place, not just, you know, in the same town at the same time, but in the same place. Like, what do we really want to do?
Right.
And so we right away kind of fell into bigger conversations than just school and
like thought a lot deeper than I ever had, you know, kind of just navigated like, all right, we're about to go back into the real world whenever it resets.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we want out of our lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at that point, Kenzie, you were what year?
I was a junior.
Okay. Yes. So you had a year left.
I had a year left. And
misery.
Luckily, he got another year for baseball. And so we were able to spend our senior year together. And that's when we really started dating.
Yeah. So I came back as a super senior. I was like 22. I turned 23 that year. I was like
grandfather.
Yeah, I was that guy in the back of the
17, 18-year-olds coming in.
Yeah, so I was the guy in the back of the class with the hood on, like, too cool for school.
Gray hairs popping out.
I'm not supposed to be here, you know. I got to come back for another year. And
it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And we just really enjoyed that.
And we spent time together throughout that whole year. Yeah.
Huh. So maybe it was meant to be.
I think so.
Yeah.
I know so now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much, like so many loose threads that were tied together in a way that neither one of us could have ever planned. That's for sure.
And then we tied the knot.
And then we got the government involved and signed papers.
Now, you know, that's a double-edged sword when you get the government involved,
yes,
right?
We've got the government involved.
But we papers.
No, yeah, we got married this year. We got married this year. We graduated
in July.
We graduated in 2021, and then we got married this year in July.
Yeah, in July.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of different, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could say life-changing.
Yeah, you could say that. Yes. You could say that.
So, Kenzie, you have family here.
Yes.
As I alluded to at the beginning, kind of a famous name around this campus.
It's all right. Yeah.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah. So that's what daughters think of dads, right? Okay. I get it.
Just the name.
Oh,
the
okay.
guy is pretty cool. Yeah.
The guy.
Yes.
My... So the guy is Sean.
Yes. Yes.
Who is?
He is
Vice President of Culture.
Yes. Mission and Culture.
Mission and Culture.
The most elaborate title they could possibly give him.
Had to fill the business card up.
Right. Exactly. Used all the characters.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And so got married at their house, right?
Essentially, yeah, in the backyard, pretty much. So my family, it's kind of funny. We all live right next to each other in Island, Kentucky. And so my grandfather owns a farm, and slowly his kids have just either built or bought homes all around. And so I grew up in a little community of my family. And so that's always been such a special place for me. And we've obviously spent a lot of time on the farm since we started dating. And so one day we went out to, there's a big hay barn in the middle of the field. And we went up there and we just kind of felt like, this is it. This is the spot. It just felt right to us.
Mm-hmm. We were on a Sunday walk, and I think the conversation was like, "This seems like a good place for a party." And I think we both knew what we were talking about. Mm-hmm.
We weren't even engaged at the time. We were just like, "This would be a good place to throw a party." And it was insinuated what kind of a party that would be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is a party, I suppose.
Yeah. Celebration.
Yeah.
And so it was a hot day in July.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes. It was very toasty. I'm pretty sure Chase sweat through his suit completely. Thank goodness it was navy, so you couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm. And so do you ever wonder why she made you be outside in the middle of July to get married?
We agreed.
This was
July.
Mutual. He it signed himself mutual. Up for this. I sat in a air conditioned car right until I had to walk up the aisle. But not only was it a very warm day, it also like thunderstormed immediately after.
Yeah, it was everything short of tornadic.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Quite tornadic.
was that a sign?
They say it is. They say it. The timing of it, once again, it seemed pretty coincidental. It was like, you may now kiss, photo, also.
Run inside right now.
The sky turned black right now.
It was. You know how it stays like daylight until about 9 o'clock during the summer? It was seven and it was pitch black outside because the scariest storm that I have ever been outside for rolled in.
Yeah.
But we all stood in that barn and people were freaking out. And I just looked around and I was like, you all, this barn is older than I am. I'm not worried for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, it made for a really incredible.
Oh my gosh! And,
yeah.
Yes,
like a dream. Like it was like it was like a weird dreamy dream.
You couldn't tell what was lightning or the camera flash, and so you just let it blend together, and it was fine.
Yeah,
and we all had a great time.
It was a tin roof too, so
yeah, so you could hear the rain.
You couldn't hear much else.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah it was just.
It was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
The perfect storm.
That was good.
Right? Thank you. Well, and his brother said the sweetest thing during his best man speech about how rain or water, you know, makes the knot stronger. And he was like, and with this kind of storm, y'all are the strongest.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, you know, adversity is good. You just faced it a little sooner than most married couples probably.
Yeah, we didn't even consider it adversity. It was good. It was really good.
So, Kenzie, let's talk about family a little bit.
Yeah.
We talked about your dad, Sean.
Yeah.
Who else is in your family?
So my sweet mom, she and my dad are actually also Wesleyan sweethearts. So it's kind of like it was written in the stars for us. And then I have a little brother who is a sophomore here at Wesleyan. He plays on the football team.
Oh, good.
Yes. Good. And if anyone read Miss Kathy Rutherman's latest magazine, my entire family is in it because we have quite a legacy. My parents went here. Several of my aunts and uncles were students here. My little brother, like I said, is here right now. And then my grandfather was a student. And his father actually donated money to bring Wesleyan to Owensboro. So I think my great-grandfather knew what he was doing.
And you wonder why I say that Tom's name
right.
is a bit famous around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, there's a lot of us.
There are.
And we all bleed purple.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much in everybody's DNA, right?
Mm-hmm. It's woven in there.
Yeah. Chase, what about you? Family?
My family lives in Tennessee. I grew up in Lebanon, Tennessee. Let's see.
Lebanon, Tennessee. Kind of a hole in the wall. It's not real big.
I grew up and it kind of out in the sticks. Lebanon is kind of blown up now. Nashville's exploded, but.
And they used to have, I guess they still have outlet malls.
Nope. Knocked it down.
Knocked it down. Honey, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Didn't know that.
We used to stop in there back and forth on the way to the mountains all the time.
Negative. Not anymore. You have to go somewhere else. Oh. But Lebanon, Tennessee. Yep. Yeah. And my family still lives there. We have no ties to Kentucky Wesleyan. But I will say, this kind of came up in the back of my mind where you mm-hmm. were talking or we were talking about family. Whenever my mom first met Ken's, She was a supporter, which was a major victory. I will say that.
If the mom likes her, she's in.
Yes, it is.
Yes, she suggested. She said, "Bring that girl.
Bring that girl."
That's what I knew. I was like, "Okay, we might be onto something here." Whenever mom said, "Yeah, bring that girl,"
I like that one. Yeah.
So, mom, brother, sister.
I have an older brother. He lives in Huntsville, Alabama. And I was kind of the athlete, and he was the technician, the genius, the engineer. He flies drones. That's what he does in Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah, big smart guy. His name's Justin.
In one of the space center capitals.
Yes.
Huntsville,
yeah,
Alabama.
Yeah, that's where he lives. Yeah. Does smart dude stuff.
So what do you guys like to do when you're not working or coaching, teaching,
mm-hmm.
catching?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live and breathe my work, Doug. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Now we're not. This is not that show.
Well, when I do turn off, which is rare, I'm trying to just accumulate as many hobbies as possible. So I have begun with crocheting, learning sign language,
We like to walk.
We love to go to work and walk. Bike. Very outdoorsy people, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Reading. We read. Our pride and joy at our house is our bookshelf.
Yeah.
For sure.
We do. We love to read. And we're kind of, I'm trying to think of the word. Cafe. We're like cafe fiends. We love a good, like Nico's Bakery here in town.
For sure.
We love
going and have coffee and pastries. Oh, don't get me started.
We could be professional pastry eaters with our off time. And we would probably quit the other things that we were doing if it paid.
If it paid well.
Yeah. We would do pastries full time. So that's what we're into.
So that's why you walk.
That's why we walk
so that we can eat more pastries.
Exactly.
More pastries. That is correct.
It all evens out in the end.
Yeah. We got a good science.
Well, yeah, it works.
It works.
It works for you guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Chase, you, any hobbies?
I play guitar and love to read and write. I do a lot of writing and it kind of helps me with my work. So it's kind of a hobby. It's kind of my work. I'll do some studying so that I have some conversation points when I have a group of baseball players that I like to write. Me and Ken's love a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
What kind?
Big movie buffs.
What kind? I like mafia movies and she likes.
Oh gosh, I do not like mafia movies. I don't know why he said that. Yeah.
So give me a couple of favorites.
Donnie Brasco, The Irishman. We'll stop there.
Okay.
We'll
stop there. Yeah. He probably knows all of them.
What about The Godfather?
That's crazy that I actually have not seen The Godfather.
I have not seen that one either.
Sounds like
we'll have to watch it.
Honey, what do you think of that?
Kind of a fake mafia fan.
Well, being a mafia fan, that would have been my first one for you to.
We'll have we'll just go ahead and open up an afternoon. Was it 3-4 hours?
Well, that's for the first one.
Okay. We'll make it a Godfather weekend. That sounds like something Ken's would love.
Oh, I'm just chomping.
Right in the middle of winter, have a nice Godfather weekend when you bundle up inside in the cold, right?
So you could have a coffee and a pastry. And
there we go. Yeah. If you give me a pastry, I'll do just about anything. But
yeah. Ken's is, I'm sure you can hear through the radio that she's very bright. Very bright, always. I couldn't imagine subjecting her to a mafia marathon.
It would really dull my sparkle, honestly.
Yeah. I'll save that.
I tend to watch whatever Netflix suggests for me, shamefully. But I do love any movie that's based on a true story or based on a book. So, like, big fan of, like, Jane Austen. Love those movies. I just recently watched, I think it's called The Phantom Thread. That one was really cool. I like older movies.
Yeah. She likes to watch Frozen.
I also love Disney animated movies. I will proclaim that to the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to be a Disney princess, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just Moonlight. Moonlight as a Disney
Chase
princess.
Chase said you were a princess.
Did you say that?
When we were off the air, I admitted
so
that she was
you.
A princess.
Thank you.
That's what he told me.
The pastry princess.
Thank you. That's fine. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know those Disney internships that they do where kids get to go down there? I should have done that.
That's
my one regret in life.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's what her daughter did. And she was a Wesleyan grad.
She went
and became a princess.
And now she's at Disney working for Disney.
I don't know if it was that glamorous.
She was in theater here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so she's working at Disney.
You didn't miss your calling, but...
It's still out there.
Yeah,
it's still waiting for me.
You better get on it quick.
One day. I'll retire.
There are
fairy godmother
catchers in Florida.
There are catchers all over.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so the opportunity still exists.
Oh, yeah. I think we'll make it down there. I think that's the actual plan to find every excuse to set up catching events in
anywhere we want to go.
Any city we want to go to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
It's the ideal like vacation package because you work and then you have the money to pay for the vacation.
So you pretty much work for free.
Right. It's beautiful.
It's a great system.
You know, a while ago, mentioned the government. That's pretty much what you do anyway,
just
right?
Work for free.
Exactly.
Work to pay taxes.
Nailed it. No.
I am excited to go to San Francisco.
Yeah,
I've never been to California.
Mm-hmm.
So That will be a very cool trip.
Yeah.
I said I wanted to see the Full House, and he has no interest.
But we're not going to see the Full House.
We'll see about that one.
The Full House would have to come to us. We're not
they would
going
have to find us.
We're not going out of the way to see the Full House.
So do you have any time to be tourists when you go to these places?
Yeah. So we scheduled this one out to make it like a vacation. So I'll train for 2 days, and then we'll spend a day or two.
Being tourists.
Yeah, with a rental car and a dream. So we'll see.
And a hope and a prayer.
And a hope and a prayer. And then we'll come on back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alcatraz.
Tempting. Ooh. Tempting, Doug.
Absolutely.
Actually, that does sound cool.
Are you serious right now? You think that's a good idea?
Yes.
It's cool.
It's a awesome. Fun boat ride out, and the history is amazing.
You kind of lost me at history.
It is amazing.
If there's one thing Ken's is not, it's a... Well, she says she likes to watch real story movies, but I don't see her as much of a history buff.
I'm not history, really, but that
You guys did go?
Oh, yeah.
It was wonderful.
If it's up your alley, I'll explore it.
Yep.
Wow.
Alcatraz, Fisherman's Wharf. It's just...
What's Fisherman's Wharf? I know this is kind of off topic. I'm curious. What is Fisherman's Wharf? Should I know?
A place to eat.
Okay.
And be a tourist.
You had cool. to sit eating.
Literally.
Okay.
You can take the cable cars.
Ooh.
Okay, now that's...
The world's windiest road.
What is that called? Someone told me about that.
I don't remember the name.
I don't remember, but it was really cool.
It is absolutely neat.
Really cool.
I've seen photos.
Yes.
Some really good food choices.
Okay, noted.
The Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fantastic. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, San Francisco's a neat place.
Yeah, we're going. Never been, but we're going to go check it out.
So, one of the things that I do like to do with my guests, and unfortunately, we are approaching the end of our time together, but as we do, I like to ask a question, give you time to think about it,
okay,
and then I'm going to tell you why I'm asking the question. Now, your answer, because you are new together, you may have separate answers, but you may not. You may have a together answer, and that either one or both is okay. Question is, tell me about a favorite vacation.
Together?
Now, huh?
Or
either one.
Doesn't matter.
And why you're thinking about it, the reason that I ask is, Brenda and I are not that far away from retirement. And when we do, we like to travel. So I'm stealing ideas from my guests.
Well, okay. Should we talk about our honeymoon destination then?
Mm.
That's a good travel spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah, sure. We went to Ocho Rios, Jamaica. And we stayed at Couples Sans Souci. It is not, it is unlike most like all-inclusive resorts. It's not there for like the party scene. It's there to just be quiet, and it was serene. It was serene, really. And everywhere you look is just like lush island, just beautiful. And then we're, like I said, outdoorsy people. So we did like all the water sports and everything. And that was my very first all-inclusive experience. And like to not lift a finger the entire time was beautiful. It was so beautiful.
It is fun to be waited on.
Oh my gosh. It was like they predicted every need. Like I'm sitting there reading a book and a man walks up with a platter of fruit kebabs. And I didn't even know I needed that until he asked me if I needed one. And I said yes.
And it was an essential part of your life at that point.
Yes. I didn't know how I had gone without one up until that point.
Yeah. The great honeymoon.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be a good... We retired moon. I'm sure it would.
So we have been to Jamaica, not Ocho Rios.
Okay.
And it was, of all the places we've been... It's the very best water we've ever experienced.
Oh my gosh.
Water.
Beautiful.
The water is amazing.
Beautiful. It was like, one time we had a man describe the weather in California as no weather because it was never hot, never cold. Like you could just walk out and feel perfect. And I felt like that was the weather in Jamaica. I felt like I was in a simulator, honestly. Every day was just completely clear skies, calm water. Like there weren't even waves. The water was so calm. Oh my goodness. It was just beautiful. Every single day. I was amazed. Big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, we were too, but that not there. So we'll have to swap some notes on resorts because that sounds like a nice one.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We never really bumped into anyone unless we wanted to. I think that was cool too, to feel like the only people on the resort the whole time.
It was a blessing of a honeymoon for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there another place that you've been that you would recommend? I'll say he introduced me to Tennessee and I had never really spent any time there except Nashville. And so going to Chattanooga, I really loved hanging out in Chattanooga.
East Tennessee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could spend a lot of time in East Tennessee personally. I think it's beautiful. The mountains and the creeks and yeah.
Yeah. Chattanooga is a fun place. The incline and, you know, a lot of the touristy things are still outdoorsy things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were there recently.
We did, is it paddle boarding?
Where you stand up.
Yeah. We paddle boarded across the river, which like old Kinsey, you know, pre-married Kinsey never would have done that. But Chase has really gotten me out there and into treacherous waters. It was so much fun though. It was so much fun. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
See, we love stealing ideas.
Happy to.
Yeah.
But it won't be paddle boarding. I'll just tell you that right now.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
It's very clear.
It's much more likely to be a fruit kebab.
You have heard it here first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, no paddle boarding. No paddle. And I'm actually in agreement with that. So, thank you so much for spending a little time with us today. I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think others will appreciate your stories and your story. I like to give my guest final word as sweetheart.
Final word. Who's our audience?
Everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world.
That's what I hope.
You have some big idea that you think this is how it's going to work out, about love, life, all those, just throw them out and go for the ride. Yeah. Find a sweet one and hang on. That's my advice for the Sweethearts podcast.
Yeah. I'm pretty much in agreement with that. Like never think you know what you're going to do or where you're going to be taken in this life. Cause I have never like really made a decision for myself. I don't feel like I feel like a door has always been opened for me, and just through prayer and hoping, I have always been taken where I needed to be. And that was to Wesleyan and to the jobs that I've had and to Chase. And so just always trust in a greater plan is what I would say. And it's going to take you exactly where you need to be.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you being on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are at the end of our time, and I appreciate everybody listening to Alumni Evolution. Honey, thank you for being here with me. I love you.
I love you.
And until we come together again, be safe.
This has been another episode of Alumni Evolution, the official podcast of the KWC Alumni Association, hosted by Doug Hoyt, class of 1984. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow the Alumni Association on social media at KWC Alumni. See you next time, Panthers.